Okay, we're up to the end of Perek Yud Beis, Nehemiah. Perek Yud Beis, we're up to Pasuk Mem Gimel. Mem Gimel Vayizbuchu Vayemahu Zvachim Gedolim. We are describing the day of the Chanukah, of the wall, the new walls of Yerushalayim, which really, the bigger picture of things, refers to the Chanukah of Yerushalayim, it's the entire Yerushalayim itself. And on that it is sacrificed Zivachim Gidolim. Gidolim obviously does not mean large, it means here a larger number. Many Zivachim Vayismachu, and they rejoice. Ki hu Elokim Simcha Makadosh Baruch Hu, caused them to rejoice. This is a fascinating idea. This is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Simcha in their heart. There are Simcha is not something a person can necessarily bring himself to. Simcha is a gift. A person can go to have all different types of entertainment and do all different types of things and try to bring himself to a happy state. But when all is said and done, it's really a gift. A person really finds himself in a state where he is true Simcha. It makes it very clear here, Ki hu Elokim Simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in their heart. Simcha is a gift that Hashem puts in a person's heart. To be in that state, the person can do obviously should do good things. He do Torah, mitzvos, chesed, and those things are conditions. But the ultimate simcha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Elokim Simcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to rejoice. Simcha gedola v'gam hanashim v'hayeladim samechu. Even the women and the children, they rejoiced. V'tishama simchas Yerushalayim erechok, and the simcha was heard at it from a distance. The entire world was aware of the simcha that Klal Yisrael enjoy at this point in time in their history. Pasuk Mem Daled Vayipaktuvayim, who on that day Anoshim Al Haneshachos. On that day, Nehemiah says, "I appointed officers over the Neshachos." Neshachos means the Lishkos. The Nun and the Lamed in this are interchanged. So therefore, a Lishka is a chamber. So Neshachos is also a chamber, and here we refer to the chambers where the Truma. The Truma, the treasury. So, in this context, we're referring to the treasury of Truma and Meiser to support the morning, to support the Levim and the Kohanim. So, Vayipaktu Vayemuhu Anashim Al Haneshachos. I appointed office on that day over the chambers, Le Oit Saros, for the storage house. Now, the Psuk, this next Psuk, and even in the next Perek, is very choppy. It's very hard to read the words, the words don't flow well. You have to add a lot of words to give a simple translation for the words. So you have a lot of that coming up. I appoint them in Al Haneshachos for what? The chambers that served for what function? Le'oit Saros. These chambers were storehouses. Le'trumos. Ke'truma. Truma, now it's plural, but seemingly referring to simply to Truma Gedoyla. All the Truma that was separated by the entire Klal Yisrael. Lo'reishis. According to the Mitzvah, this refers to Chala. Okay, so everyone took their first, the dough. It's not exactly clear how they were able to preserve the dough, but L'Reishis is for the first. Areishis Arisoy Seichem, Ulema Asrois, Meiser Rishoin, Lichnois Bohem, Listei He'orim. To enter, to bring, to import into these chambers, Listei in this context means from. Again, the words here, they're not easy to translate literally. But this is how the Mitzudos and Rashi translate L'stei Harim from all of the fields of the mountains, of the cities, Minos HaTorah. Minos means the portions. HaTorah, which the Torah has given, has demanded that Klal Yisrael separate LaKohanim VeLaLevim. Why were the people so willing to appoint officers in order to make sure that everyone in Klal Yisrael will give the Truma and the Ma'aretz? Because we all know that this was an ongoing struggle throughout history, that Jewish institutions are always struggling for survival, always struggling to raise money for tuition. It's a struggle. So here, look at this. There was no problem. Officers were appointed. The institution of the day was the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim and the Levim were the Mechanchim. They were the people that were there to serve. And the money just came in. The money came into the institution. And there were officers in charge. There were fundraisers and people in charge, administrators, and all different types of support groups to service the Megush, ki Simchas Yehuda, because the people really were pleased when the parent body of a yeshiva, or when the people that benefit from a yeshiva have pleasure in their institution, they give money right away. It's not an issue. You call up for a donation, the money comes in, there's no struggle. It's only when you don't really believe in the cause, and they twist your arm, there's social pressure, they have to honor someone. Like we all know ourselves, that we go to institutions that we have nothing to do with, we never give $1, and the only reason why we write out a check is because they're honoring our cousin, so you don't want to get into any trouble with your family members, or you have a neighbor, or you have someone in your shul. So you have no choice, you have to contribute. That was not the issue in this situation. The pasuk makes it very clear. Yisimchas Yehuda al Hakoyhan v'al Halavim ho'imdim. Because it's very clear. It's because Yehuda refers to the Jewish people. They had great delight and great pleasure and great satisfaction in the job that the Koyhanim and the Levim were doing for Klal Yisrael. And because they had such great pleasure, satisfaction in what the Koyhanim and the Levim were doing in the Beis HaMikdash, they were more than willing to give, and to give the donations of the Truma and the Maaser without any delay or any problem. They sent it forward to the Beis HaMikdash, was collected, and it was put in these treasure houses, these storage houses, to support the Koyhanim and Levim. Because Kisimchas means Yehuda, they had pleasure, they had satisfaction in the job of Al HaKoyhanim V'Al HaLevim that were serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, there was no issue whatsoever. The money was sent immediately to the Beis HaMikdash, and they were administrators, officers in charge to receive the gifts of Chum and Maaser and Challah and Bikurim and all of the various gifts, and they were put in the storage houses, and they were distributed equally to the Kohanim that were serving the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Memhei, Vayishmeru Mishmeres Elokeihem. And now it describes that the Levim, they served faithfully. The Levim and the Kohanim, we know they were divided into 24 Mishmaros, going back from David, as the Pasuk going to tell us now that David was the one who broke up Klal Yisrael into Mishmaros. Originally there were, I think, 16 Sigmaros at the time. They originally 16, then it was expanded once, twice. Kuri Moshe also made Mishmaros. Kuri Moshe made Mishmaros. I don't remember the exact numbers, but the Mishmaros over time changed from different numbers, and ultimately at this point in time there were 24 Mishmaros. Even during the time of the Bayis Rishon, there were 24 Mishmaros, and the Bayis 24 Mishmaros. We mentioned 24 Mishmaros in the past Parakim, and in fact on Tisha B'Av there's a keynote that's devoted to mention all 24 Mishmaros. We list them by name. The Kina of Chavatzeles Hasharon. Vayishmu Mishmeres Elokehem, and the Levim and the Kohanim, they guarded their charge. Umishmeres HaTahara, and the charge of making sure that the Mikdash was pure. There were no impurities, not physical, no nevelos, trefos, of course, and not anything that was spiritually impure. The hamishayrim and the gatekeepers, they also had watches, 24 mishmaros of Levim. The hashayrim, hamishayrim are the singers. The hashayrim are the gatekeepers. Kemitzas David Shlomo Beno, as was commanded by David. So we will translate the pasuk according to one approach. Shlomo means to Shlomo, as David commanded to Shlomo, his son, how it should be done, because David did not actually live to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. David died. Hashem told David, right, as David commanded, Shlomo will know how everything shall be done in the Beis HaMikdash, including the gatekeepers and the singers and the Kohanim and the Levim and so on and so forth. Other Mefarshim come and say both David and not Lishlom. I translated the pasuk Kemitzas David. I translated Lishlom over the Lamed. But other Mefarshim say no, it means that both David and Shlomo on his own, they instituted different takanos, different systems. Each one had their own technique, and each one contributed equally to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's David and Shlomo Vino. Pasuk Membav Ki Vimei David V'Yosef Mikedem, because these Mishmaros were already originated from the time of David and the Asaf. Asaf lived in the lifetime of David. He was the master composer, master musician, and a conductor, composer, and he was in charge of the orchestra. Mikadem, from time immemorial, going back 500 years before the time period that we are discussing, and the Bais Rishon was 410 years. Galus, now it was about 95 years. 95 years have passed since the time of the Chum Beis HaMikdash, the time that we're standing here. And furthermore, David lived before the Beis HaMikdash, much before the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, even more than 500 years, David and Asaph lived at that point in time, and David and Asaph, they arranged the compositions and the musical arrangements for all of the Mizmarim. Rosh HaMisharim, they arranged which families will be in charge of the Rosh HaMisharim, the heads of the singers, Vishir Tehila Vehoidois Lelokim, and who will lead. They divided up Claudius from the Levim, who would lead in singing songs of praise and thanks, two different expressions, Lelokim to Hashem, Pasik Mem Zayin, V'chol Yisrael, B'mei Zerubbabel, V'mei Nechemia, and all of Claudius Yisrael during the days of Zerubbabel. So now we're going backwards a little bit, we're going back 34 years, the time when we've more, we're going back 50 years, whatever the time was, 52 years after Bekita, Zerubbabel was the leader. He was the so-called king of Klal Yisrael when Koresh's second year, which gave permission for Klal Yisrael to return, he was Zerubbabel. So B'chol Yisrael b'nei Zerubbabel b'nei Nechemia noisnim minoyos. They did what they were supposed to do. They gave, minayos means portions, ha-mishayririm, of to the singers, to the Leviim, ve-ha-shayarim, and the gatekeepers, devar yom yomo, daily, umakdishim la-Leviim, and they gave the miser to the Leviim, and the ha-Leviim, and the Leviim in turn would separate, shumas miser would separate 10%, ha-Leviim, makdishim l-Ne'aron, would separate 10% and give it to the Kohanim. The Levim would give the Trumas Meiser to the Kohanim. Okay, let's see the Rashis and the Metzuzah. We'll talk about a few different things. Let's go back to the Rashi. The Rashi is very short, easy Rashis. Pasuk Mem Dalet. Vayipaktu Loshon Pekidois, that he appointed, that at this point in time, Nechemia, he appointed officers, administrators and officers to make sure to collect all of the truma and the maisu that was being brought to the Beis HaMikdash. This was his takana, because Me'ikar Hadin, we discussed yesterday, we'll discuss in a few moments again, that in Me'ikar Hadin, you do not have to bring the truma and the maisu to the Beis HaMikdash. The truma and the maisu can be distributed locally to your local Kohen and Levi. And in fact, you don't even have to give it to them. You can call them up and say to your Kohen and Levi, come pick it up. I have selected you for the Truman Meister. You can't pick it up. This was a takana of Nechemia that you are not to tell the Kohen and Levi to come pick it up. You are to make a delivery. Who are you going to deliver it to? Not to your local Kohen and Levi. You are to deliver it to the Beis HaMikdash. If you live all the way on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, it's too bad. You have to bring it all the way to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. So there should be a supply, the Beis HaMikdash should be supplied with Truma Meiser as an incentive for the Kohanim and the Levim to live in the Beis HaMikdash and serve there, and they would have plenty of what to eat and what to be supported with. So he appointed the Kidos officers, HaNeshachos. So Rashi apologizes. The word Neshachos Salamit. Neshach means a weapon. Weapons are put away in the armory. They're put away in storage, in a special storage location, but here it's not, but it means it's kamo halishkos or halishachos with the lamed. In the lamed and the lamed and the nun interchange. Shall base on what make this? Lichnais b'chaim u'v'oisim halishachos chayu naisim kol matan ha'seim shal kohanim levim. And in those chambers, they would put all of the gifts of the kohanim levim, the contribution of the kohanim levim, yisham hayu cholkim levim, and they would distribute from there to all the kohanim levim. Minos, the word minos comes from monos. Like on Purim, mishaloch, mishloach monos, ish for your portion. The Kohanim and the Levim that would stand there when we serve Hashem by singing Shira and giving praise to Hashem. They would give Meiser, they gave Meiser Risha into the Levim, and the Levim in turn would give Trumas Meiser. Okay, let's run through very quickly the Mitzudos, Pasuk Mem Gimel in the Mitzudos, David Gedolim, Ratzon Mitzvah Gedol Rav. When it says here that they offered Zevachim Gedolim, it does not mean large animals, it means many animals. The word Gadol sometimes means large, sometimes means in number. Kilokim Simcham, very, very powerful words. Okay, cannot express. I said this before again. Nosan Simcha Beliba. Simcha is a gift. It's something which is spiritual. True Simcha. There are different types of Simcha, but true Simcha is a gift. There's another thing I once heard is a gift that you can't. There's nothing you can possibly do in this world to attain another type of thing. Kavod. No matter how hard you try. No matter how much money you pay, you can't buy kavod. You can do. It may seem you'll give a $1 billion to an institution. They'll honor you. It's not real honor. Everyone's going to go to a dinner. They give an award. They give someone kavod. We know it's not. It's meaningless. Real kavod, where people really appreciate you. They stand up and they clap. Real kavod is a gift. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give kavod. There's nothing you can possibly do in this world to achieve real kavod. Look at the heads of state today. Everyone, look what they say about them on the news. I mean, even the people that are very polite and say good things. Is that kavod? I don't know. Maybe it is. And if it is, it's only a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because you actually can. You can try to put yourself in a position, but ultimately, it's a gift from Hashem, and the truth is, believe it or not, simcha is the same thing. Person to achieve real simcha, it's a gift. It's purely a gift, and that's what it says here. Ki hu elokim simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosan simcha b'libam, in their hearts. Pasuk Mem Dalid, now it says that Nehemiah, not that he appointed, Vayipaktu, he appointed, Hayu Mimanim Gizbor Malish Al Halishkais, Hasuyas Lo Israel, Al Truma Vel Rishis, what is the Rishis? So the Mesuda says Rishis is Chala, Vial Hamasras. Okay, it doesn't say explicitly Chala, and in fact, some Farshim say it refers to Bikurim. When it says Rishis is Bikurim, it's Mirashis Kol Pri Ho Adama. So here the Mitsudos is taking sides, and he's saying that's referring to Meiser, which refers to Chala. So then that begs the question, what happened to the Bikurim? So that means it's not necessary. It's not necessary to go to make to have a Mishmar, to have a storage house for Bikurim, because the Bikurim was given to whoever was on duty on that day. Anyway, you have to bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach, and whoever was the Kohen that picked up the basket, he got the Bikurim. The Bikurim were not put in a storage house. It's very clear, the Reishis is Chala, not Bikurim. Not everyone agrees to that. L'chnois, l'achnisa b'chem, mikol stei he'arim. The purpose of these storage facilities was to collect all of the Truma, the Maisa that was imported from all of the fields of the cities. As Hamatanos Asher Tzivsa HaTorah Lo Seis LaKoyhanim Ulevim, the Torah commanded to give to the Koyhanim and Ulevim. And what are the gifts? V'heim HaTrumos V'HaMaisrois V'Hukafa Lo'inim B'Milo Shoinois. And over here the pasuk repeats itself, L'Toseches Be'or. In order to add more explanation, the pasuk repeats itself many words. This is typical of the Mitsudos. Other Mefarshim will never tolerate this. There's no repetition whatsoever. Every single word is referring to something entirely different, but this is the Pshat of the Mitsudos. Ki Simchas, now here's an important word, Mitsudos, Ki Simchas Yehuda. Now what does this mean? These psukim here, they're not very clear. The words are very, very abstract. And the Mitsudos here is giving a bear. I translate the pasuk according to his interpretation, but he says, what does it mean, ki simchas Yehuda al ha-koyhanim v'ha-levim? So he explains, ki godlo simchas Yehuda al ha-koyhanim v'ha-levim ho'imdim al avoidasam, ulezed nosnu lev lihiyo sihirim b'dvar ha-matonos ha-roi lohem lahamid gizbar. Okay, it's an incredible interpretation. They had satisfaction. They gave their approval rating was sky high. Okay, they had 100% approval rating. When they would ask, take a poll, how do you feel about the Kohanim and Levim? You go ask the Yisrael who lives along the Mediterranean on a ship, what do you feel about the service of the Kohanim and the Levim, the Beis HaMikdash? How would you rate their approval? How would you rate their from 1 to 10? I give them a 10. Good. In other words, I give them the highest grades, 100%. Everyone said that. They had the highest approval rate possible. And therefore, it was only natural that when they got an envelope in the mail, they sent in a donation. When they were told to bring the Truman and Mice to the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't make a fuss, of course. They are our representatives. They are doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Of course we're going to bring the Truman and the Mice into the Beis HaMikdash to support the people. This is the interpretation of the Mitzvah. It doesn't say that explicitly in the Pasuk. He's reading that into the Pasuk. Probably I didn't look well, but I'm certain if you look in the Farshim, you'll find a whole different Mahalach. It's a very fascinating idea. Ki simchas, one more time, just could I look at the Pasuk again. It's a very, very deep stuff here. Pasuk, very long Pasuk Mem Dalet. And the Pasuk Mem Dalet, ki simchas Yehuda, the joy of Yehuda, which means the Klal Yisrael, who was by most of Klal Yisrael was from Shevet Yehuda at this point in time, Yehuda Binyamin, most was Yehuda, or Yehuda is just a general term which refers to the entire Klal Yisrael. It's a catch-all phrase for Klal Yisrael. The joy, which in this context means the satisfaction. They were satisfied al ha-koyhanim v'al ha-levim ho-indim with their service. They were pleased with their service, and therefore we now go into Pasuk. That explains backwards Pasuk Mem Dalet and Pasuk Mem Zayin. That's why when the officers were appointed, there was no problem, and that's why the people followed through in Pasuk Mem Zayin, and they actually gave them donations. Okay, Pasuk Mem Hey, Vayishmeru Musav Lumikra Shulafanov. Now Pasuk Mem Hey is describing what they were happy with. They were happy with the service of the Kohanim and Levim that were divided into 24 groups, each the groups and exactly what they did, their assigned tasks. What exactly were they doing when they were standing? They didn't just stand there. What did they do? The Kohanim and the Levim, they guarded Mishmeres Eloi Kehem, the charge of their God. The Dvar HaAvoida HaMutel L'Salem, with concerning the matter that was put upon them, with Dvar HaTahara, and concerning matters of Tahara, of purity. What does it mean, Tahara? Sheloi Tavoi Tumo L'Mikdash, L'Mikdash Hashem, that Tumo should not enter into the holy place of Hashem, V'HaMeshayrim, V'HaShayarim, and the singers and the gatekeepers, Achziku B'Mishmartam, they held on to their charge. Kasher tziva David El, right? I told you the Lamed El Shlomo Lishlomo Bino Uchamash Amar B'Divrei Hayamim Pasuk Membav Ki Me David Ki Hamishmaros Nechluku. When were the Mishmaros put into effect? When were they actually put into effect? So I think the verse David, I mean, Moshe also made Mishmaros. But the Mishmaros, the way we know them, was really put into effect by David and Shlomo. Nechlu b'mei David ve'asav, shahayu b'mei kedem. They were from our ancestors, the earliest time, more than 500 years ago, from this point in time. Roshe ha-mishayrim, the heads of the mishayrim. So according to the Mitzudos, it appears to learn that the Roshe ha-mishayrim in the Pasuk, it's not clear, the Pasuk is very abstract. But it appears the way he is learning Pasuk Memvav, the two words Roshei HaMishoyerim are going back on David and Asaf. David and Asaf were the Roshei HaMishoyerim. Because if not for this mitzvah, you could say that Kivimei David Yosef Mikedem, they appointed Roshei HaMishoyerim who shall serve to give Shir Tehillah V'Hoydes Le'Elokim. You can take the word Rosh HaMishayrim and you can learn it going forwards or backwards. It appears that he's going backwards. That Asaf and David were the Rosh HaMishayrim, and then the Mitzudos adds in the word the Tiknu Shir. And they, what did David and Asaf do? They established Shir Song Shal Tehillah V'Hoydos La'Elokim, of song of praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Pasuk Mem Zayin Minoyos HaMishayrim HaMatanos Harus LaIslahem, the gifts that they were entitled to Drayom Yomo daily. That's a very interesting idea. The Davar Haroi BiYoyim Zeh Naslu BiYoyim VeLoi Ichru Min HaMoed. There was no delay. He learns that there was no delay. Whatever you do in Tahal to get, you got your paycheck on time. Umagdishim, how you magdishim is a maaser loses the levim. The Israelim would separate maaser rishon. The halavim, how you magdishim is a maaser and a maaser loses levnei aharon. Okay, now just to mention very briefly, we discussed yesterday bikurim. This was a takana, just run through, not everyone was here yesterday. This idea is that there's a fundamental difference between truma and bikurim. Truma, the Torah calls this sochor, is payment. Bikurim is a gift, it's a bonus. Like we gave the example that many people have salaries, fixed salaries, but in some types of line of work, there's an expectation you get a bonus at a certain time of the year. The bonus is not etched in stone, it's a gift. What's the bonus? It's an appreciation. It's not. Truma was payment. You do a job, I give you your paycheck, I don't have to say thank you. It's a business arrangement. Therefore, the nafkamina is, I don't have to bring you the check, you come pick up your check. But the bikurim is a gift. There's a sense of appreciation. What Nehemiah was doing at this point in time is he was telling the people that they're required to treat Truma with the same status as Bikurim. And the nafka mina is, you have to bring, telling them you must take the Truma and bring the Truma to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, just like one brings Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash and puts it down before the Mizbeach and gives it with a sense of appreciation, a token of appreciation to the Kohen for the service in the Beis HaMikdash. This is what Nehemiah here is doing with this takana. Okay, now, what did I want to mention? There's a quick medrash. The medrash says that there were three times in the history of Klal Yisrael where they achieved incredible joy. One, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, we know that, at the time of the inauguration. And then there's a veiled reference that during David, that when David HaMelech, I'm not exactly sure which point in time this was, that David HaMelech, after some, it's in Perek Chav Tes, Divrei Hayam, Perek Chav Tes, Vayismichu Ha'am Al His Nadvam. Okay, it appears at some point, I'm sure exactly which, I guess at some point when they began to dedicate materials for the construction of the Mikdash, David did not live to see the conclusion of the Mikdash, but when the Malchus of David stabilized, so there was very great joy in Klal Yisrael. That was a very important moment in the history of Klal Yisrael. Then there was joy during the time of the Chanukah Spayis Rishon of Shlomo HaMelech. And then here, the third time there was great joy in Tanakh, the Klal Yisrael, was at the Chanukah of the walls of Yerushalayim. Interesting, not at the Chanukah Spayis Sheni. Okay, we learned about the Chanukah Spayis Sheni back in Sefer Ezra. When they finished building the Beis HaMikdash, after the delay, after Koresh gave permission for everyone to come to the Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but then shortly thereafter Koresh said, stop, I'm getting bad reports from the enemies, the Aseres B'nei Haman, and then it took many years, it took until the Malchus of Daryavesh HaModi, after Koresh, Koresh, then Koresh came Achashverosh, and Achashverosh never allowed, Achashverosh ruled for 14 years, and during his entire reign, he did not allow the Mikdash to resume the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and then with his death, and Daryavesh HaParsi, did resume the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, and when it was complete, we don't find that there was Simcha. But there wasn't the level of simcha that's called, it's called ki simcham elokim, ho elokim simcham. This intense joy only took place in the history of Klal Yisrael three times. During David, during Shlomo HaMelech, at the Chanukah of the Bayis Rishon, and at the Chanukah of the walls of Yerushalayim during the Tkuf of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, so this pretty much concludes Perek Yud Beis. Now we go on to an entirely new section, Perek Yud Gim. This is the last Perek in Tanakh. Okay, according to most of the Mefarshim, Divrei HaYamim, is before, even though they're arranged. They're arranged in the way we have it in this order, where Divrei HaYom is the end of Tanakh. But historically, the events that occurred in Sefer Nehemiah took place after Divrei HaYom. So this last parak, Parak Yud Gimel, it's exciting. It's the last parak in Tanakh. It's the mamish, the end. So the first, so there are obviously every little bit, there are lessons. There's a lot of Musar Haskel in. And every little thing that's taking place. On that day, and this appears to be done, with the route we do, it appears to have taken place at some point in time. So it doesn't say when. Towards the end of Nehemiah's life, after the walls of Yerushalayim were built, after the Mikdash was functioning, we're jumping ahead in time now. We're going fast forward. We're going to see soon that Nehemiah, after everything was okay, the wall was built, everything was settled, he got a message from Dariavesh. He should come back to Persia. He's needed there, and he has to return. He returned, and he was away for a period of time. And during that period of time, Klal Yisrael began to sink. They began to intermarry. Or not necessarily intermarried, but they began to do things that were not 100% proper. And then it appears that Nehemiah got a report that things in Eretz Yisrael are not doing well, and he asked permission from the Yavish if he can return. He returns, and here Nehemiah returns, and now when Nehemiah returns, he finds that a lot of things are not the way they should be, and he gives them Musar. And once again, he takes out the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he reads it to Klal Yisrael in order to inspire them to do tshuva. And this is the finale. This is his last, his goodbye to them, and the last tkufa of Musar to Klal Yisrael in the closing of Tanakh. So again, everything here is very deep. We just run through very quickly. But the depth is very, very great. Bayamu on that day, on that fateful day, we don't know exactly when it was, but it was when Ezra, when Nehemiah comes back.
It says, but when
it went to Kolba. Okay, all right, okay, I made a mistake then. At least according to the Mitzudas. It could be, I get a little confused because I try to go through different Svarim. I go to the different Svarim. I have Schwab, sometimes he quotes him a whole collection of Svarim. And sometimes you have the Midrashim. Later period of time. A later period of time. Okay, so it'll become clear as we go through the Pesukim. Okay, by him on that day, let's learn according to the Mitzvah on that day. Simple, on the day when they sanctified the wall. Once again, they took out the Sefer Torah. So Vayamahu Nikra b'Sefer Moshe, the Sefer which Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote, it was stored in the Beis Hamikdash. Be'ozne ha'am v'nimsa kasaba v'nimsa. They discovered. Now the word v'nimsa always means, wow, we never knew about this. We never knew this. This is a chiddush to us. The Sefer Torah. You're right. Very few people had access to a Sefer Torah. No, it was written. Sefer Torah certainly was final. Moshe Rabbeinu finalizes Chamisha Chamishei Torah. But it wasn't. Not until about 200 years from this point in time was it translated into Greek, and then it became widespread. But still, everyone seemingly knew exactly what it said in the Sefer Torah. L'chor, they were aware. But it's a little student says, "V'nimsa kosuba," and it was discovered, written in the Sefer Torah. Asher lo yavoi amoni umoyavi b'kahal elokim ad olam, that the nation of Amon umoyav may not enter in the kahal elokim ad olam. Interesting. David HaMelech, according to Shuas, this was a big thing. David HaMelech, Lo Yavoi, they challenged David until the very, very end. We'll discuss later on about David. But, wow, look at this. Amoni umavi b'kalu kim adlam forever. Never, ever. Ki, why? What's the reason? Ki loy kidmu espenei Yisrael balechem uvamoyim. They did not greet Klal Yisrael. They were traveling in the desert. They were traveling through parched, arid land. They were hungry, they were thirsty, they did not greet them with lechem, with bread, and with mayim. And not only that, vayiskar alav es Bilam, they hired Bilam ben Ba'or to curse Klal Yisrael, lekalaloi, to curse Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis upon us, vayafoich elokeinu haklala levracha. Okay, so this is what they read. that Amoini Umayavi Loyavi Bikal Hashanah, who was living among them, was living among them, this person was Tovia. Tovia Hu Amoini. He was a very popular person. He was from Amon. He was from the nation of Amon. And he married, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. Or his son. His son married him. We'll get to the details later on. There was some degree of intermarriage. So what did they do when they saw that? Vayihi kesham mesa Torah. When they heard what it says in the Torah, vayavdilu, when they separated, kol erev miyishol, any mixture from Klal Yisrael. In other words, there were still people, this was a plague, a magefa, they could not get out of. When Ezra came, Ezra, we learned, in Sefer Ezra, he found there was intermarriage. We went through the numbers, it was a teeny number of people, at least that were listed in the Pesukim in Ezra, but there was a plague of intermarriage. And then later, Nachamol Nechemiah, we learned again, in Sefer Nechemiah, there's another period where he had to separate people that were intermarried. And again, for the third time here, at the Chanukah Sabayis, they read, Lo Yavai Amoni Gomorovai Bikal Hashem Ki Lo Yilkit Masalach Mamayim. There was intermarriage. And now they would separate any taruvis. Vayavdilu Kol Erev Mi'Yisrael. Now the Pasuk goes on to explain, Lefnei Mi'zeh, and before this period of time, let's run this couple of psukim. Before this point of time, El Yashif. Oh, so now we're beginning to learn about the Kohanim Gedolim. Remember, we learned a couple of learned the previous parakim. There were six Kohanim Gedolim during this period of time. First was Yeshua Kohen Gadol. The second was Yoyakim, and the third was El Yashif. Now El Yashif, this is why it's difficult what the Mitzudo says. See, the Mitzudo says that Bayoim Hahu, on the day when they sanctified the walls, who was the Koyein Gadol when they sanctified the walls? So similarly, the Pasuk mentioned Yoyakim. The second, not Yeshua, he already either died or already retired. And it says that the leading Koyein who walked, the beginning of the procession of Ezra was Yoyakim. Right? That's if we go back to the beginning of the Psukim, Va'Allah Swami Al Yil Kharim Hashai Khasa Yehuda, Riyakhayam Khazub Zakhay bin Yanisan and Shmaya. Pasa Ilbi Yoyakim and Yeshua bin Yisunum Pechav Ezra Kohen HaSofer. And so that refers to Rosh Halavina. Wait, that was in preparation. Ela b'nei Yoyakim. All these were Yoyakim and Yeshua ben Yoyitzadik b'nei Nechemi. Right. All this took place during. But then Pasuk of Zayin over Chanukah Sachayim Asi Yushalayim. Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe not. You have to go back and look and study this carefully. Pasuk Mem Aleph in Perek Beis V'Hakoyanim El Yoyakim. Similarly, El Yoyakim there is the Kohen Gadol. He was part of the procession. Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe it's different El Yoyakim. Okay, but here we're discussing now the Kohen Gadol called El Yoshev HaKohen. One more time, Pasuk Dalit V'Lufnei Mizeh, before this period of time, El Yoshev HaKohen Nosun Belishka Space Elokeinu Korov Litovia. There was a chain. Now again, the Pesukim here are very difficult to translate literally. You have to add a lot of words in the Pesukim to get a flavor of what the Pesukim are referring to. But during this period of time, let me tell you out, so then we'll go over Pesukim inside very quickly. There was a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash that was used for storage. There was some type of yard, some type of chamber, maybe it was enclosed, that was used to store korbanos. And this chamber was given as a gift to this person called Tovia. Tovia, for some reason, was a very influential, very powerful person. Either he married the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, or his son married the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. We'll see later on.
Was he Jewish? No, he was supposedly
converted. But the problem is, all of these conversions were not sincere. They were all the shame L'shem ishus. They all for the gay was for marriage. This is a plague which goes on out here mazeh. How do you know when a person converts? They're converting out of sincerity. Many conversions today, probably most conversions today, in outside of, you know, on the borderline, even certainly not orthodox conversions, which have are not kosher conversions without question, are for the purpose of marriage. That I'm not going to marry you, my mother will not let me marry you if you don't convert. So they go to a conservative or reform rabbi and they convert them. And that's meaningless. But even among Orthodox, it's a very big thing. It's a very hard thing. Why do you want to convert? In Eretz Yisrael, they give you the many batei dinim are very, very tough. They will not let you go through with a conversion unless they are 100% certain that you're sincere. It happens to me many times. The reason why people are converting is because they want to get married.
Right.
They want to marry a Jew. It's a big, big problem. How do you know they're getting married? L'shem Shem, I'm not going to marry because you want to marry a Jew. It's all wrapped up in one thing. It's a it's a very big problem. There are batadim, of course, that do so because they make the determination that it is sincere. But at this point in time, Chazal, we're going to see now, they were yearless of that, all these conversions were not sincere. They were not sincere, they were not conversions, and therefore they had to be separated at a later point in time. Among them was this person, Tovia. Tovia married into Klal Yisrael, and he was very wealthy, very influential, and at Kedei Kach, he was given a dwelling inside the Beis HaMikdash itself. It sounds like absurd. How can you do such a thing? You give a person a place to live in the temple complex? Yeah, he was in that stature where they gave him a residence. Now, all of this took place in Nehemiah's absence. Nehemiah was in charge. He was called to go back to Dayavish. He comes, but during the time that he was away, Klal Yisrael, they wanted to make alliances with the nations of the world that surrounded them. They were afraid, and they felt the way they could make alliances was through a little intermarriage, and by setting up some nice palaces and giving some nice apartments to diplomats, embassies, that would calm everyone down in the region, everyone will be happy and they'll survive. Nehemiah comes back and says, this is ridiculous. This is not a way to survive. Appeasing and giving residence to Goyim in the Beis HaMikdash, establishing embassies and giving them a shlit of the Beis HaMikdash and having some type of political marriage is not an approach for the survival of Klal Yisrael, and he demanded that this practice be put to an end. So he separated, he caused them to divorce all of these non-Jewish women, and he took away these chambers, specifically this chamber that was given to Tovia, was taken back for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's read from the Torah. Let me read these before this. El Yashiv HaKohen, Nosun Belishkas Beis Elokeinu, he gave. And also it was given, El Yashiv, the Kohen Gadol actually gave over a chamber, Lishka, he gave over a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash to his relative Tovia. Because this person, Tovia, married somehow into his family. Vayasta Lishka, what exactly did he give him? Lishka Gedoyla. He gave him in the Beis HaMikdash a very large chamber. Visham Hayu, and in this chamber there was Lifonim, very rare Tam, Karnei Farah. We don't have a Karnei Farah very often in Nevi'im, in Ksuvim. We have maybe more often in Tehillim, but you don't have very often in Ksuvim. He gave Shomil Lufan, what would they put in this chamber? Noistim they would put Es Hamincha, Halavoina, Vihakelim, the Hamasa, Hadagan, Vatirosh. They would store there the Minochos, the frankincense for the Lechem Aponim, and the Kalim, and Meiser, Hadagan. The first 10% of Dagon, a tirosh of one of wine, the hayitzah oil, mitzvahs halavim, which was the commandment that Hashem instructed that the Yisraelim shall give the levim, the hamashayrim, and the singers, the hasha'arim, and the gatekeepers, the chumas hakohanim, and the chumas hakohanim. The chol zeh, all of this happened, the Nechemiah says, and we'll leave that possible for tomorrow because I want to just wrap up the mitzvahs here. Let's do this on the mitzvahs, and these psukim will stop. Pasuk Aleph. It says in the Torah that intermarriage is forbidden. Like, why? Because of sin laikidmu, lebo lifneim, lelechas the grasim, belechem amayim, ba'es yotsun, mitzvah, when left to mitzrayim, vayafech gam ze karu betar, vlefich lo rotso la'amoid bedava ra, leze amar gam vayafech. Since the pasuk Nechemya does not want to end off with a bad word, okay, everything is very symbolic, especially we're coming out to conclude Tanakh. He did not want to conclude the bad word. Therefore, he concluded, Vayafech alakenu haklala livracha kol erif, kol tarubis nevnei amun amayav. And when they heard these words, they separated, divorced their non-Jewish wives. V'lifnei mizeh, koidim zeh hahevdol, before Nechemya returned and forced them to separate the non-Jewish wives. Nosun, the Kohen Gadol himself, the third Kohen Gadol, Eliyashiv, first was Yeshua, then Yoyakim, then Eliyashiv, Ratzalaymar, Asher Hoya Yoyashiv, Lishkas Shal Beis Elokeinu, Hu Hoya Korob L'Tovia, was a relative to Tovia, the Amoini Haniska Lamala, Chaveroi Shal Sanbalot. Tovia was an Amoini. He was from the nation of Ammon, and he was a friend of the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, Sanballat. Vayas loy lishka. They made for him a chamber. El Yoshev also v'tiken l'tovia lishka gidoyla, large chamber. B'chatzar beis Hashem ratzloimar pina lishka l'moshava. He set aside, he dedicated a chamber for his dwelling. Now, l'chayr, this means it was like an embassy. It was a political overture to Amon. I guess they felt threatened. There could be a war. It's a very delicate situation in this part of the world. Any single moment in time, there can be a war between Amon and Klal Yisrael. In order to appease the nation of Amon, they allowed one of their most distinguished people to marry the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, and they also gave him a dwelling in the Beis HaMikdash. So this, to some degree, would serve as an appeasement to the nation of Amon. Don't, we're your friends, we're not your enemies, we don't want to have any wars. But Vishamba, Nechemi did not, was not pleased. Vishamba, listen, this chamber, Ahi, Hoyunesim Balafonim, Kaidim Shapina, Isola, Yashav, Lias, Lutavil, Moshav, Es Hamincha, Selis Lamincha, Halavain, Habal, Lamincha, Valachmaponim, Lufangensis, which comes part of the Minocha, Sakalim, Kaidim, Samish, with Samlim, Mashonim, Los Lavim, Amashem, Amaze, Lahashim, Esel Yashav, the Yoyser.
The reason why Nechemi is telling us exactly in great detail what was put in this chamber in the past was to bring out the guilt. Look what's happening over here. We don't want to leave off Tanakh with giving you the impression that Eliyashiv was a good guy. Eliyashiv was a bad guy. Because Eliyashiv went so far to take away a chamber that was set aside for the Holy of Holies, for the Karbanos, and for the support. There's something to be something between the lines. The support that was going for funds and resources that was going to support the Kohanim and Levim was diverted for non-holy purposes for Tovia. We want to declare the guilt. Amar Zela Hashem Es Eliyashiv Yosef Amar Eich Mola Liba. What chutzpah did he have? Lifnais to clean out Monos. The portions, Mishar Se Hashem, of those that serve Hashem, Liyos Makim Ponu L'Toyviyo Hamoni. Unbelievable. That he drove out a servant, the servants of Hashem, for a stranger. That's always the worst thing. When you have it for your own people, and you get rid of your own people, you bring in strangers. So this was a terrible, terrible thing that Eliyashiv did. His own Kohanim, who are loyal to him, who serve under him, he cleaned out their rooms, their chambers, to give it to the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, Tovia, who was friends of Sanballat, for whatever type of convoluted political overture to the nation of Ammon. And this is what Nechemi discovered when he came back, and that's why he went. He was very disturbed. Okay, so all this took place through the Rashi. We'll stop the Rashi, Pasuk Gimel. Kol erev, kol taruva so'akum kumoy gam erev alo yimutam. V'lefneim zem mekudem l'chein karvel tarviyah oysel yashif ha'koyin ha'yikarvel tarviyah chaver shal sanblot. This personal yashif ha'koyin was a korov, was related to tarviyah. Who was tarviyah? Tarviyah was, we learned, a chaver shal sanblot. He couldn't be such a good guy. If you're friends with sanblot, you judge a person by their friends. Oil rasha, oil shcheinai. The nasam shema koyin kalev shal tarviyah. In this chamber, he put all of his kelim, he will have an office. Vayas el Yashiv lefar. But this chamber shem hayu lunoistim koydim shabasi l'shalayim. Before they would store there all of the poor. Before they gave this chamber, what was stored there? All of the kelim beis hamidrash and the ma'aser mitzvos haladim matanis haruyos laladim. Okay, now there's a lot to discuss about Amoy Numoyov, why he were making mention of that over here. There's a medrash and there's some other ideas from Rav Schwab, and the Mishnah will do that tomorrow. Pick up tomorrow.